this works.
All right. So the, this devotional here, it's kind of a, it's a hard devotional. It's a complicated devotional to me. The title of this is called "Why Doesn't God Stop Suffering?" You know, it's complicated for me because it's not knowing all the intricate details of the way the Lord thinks. We know a general what how the Lord thinks and how He reacts to certain situations, but then in times past, from the Old Testament to the New Testament, that we know He reacted differently in the Old Testament to certain things than He does now. You know, in the Old Testament, He like talked, you hear a voice and would talk to His people, and we don't hear a voice, but we have this too. This is His voice, and Him was talking back is our prayers. So this is a classic question of the ages. Why doesn't God stop suffering? Why doesn't God eradicate evil? Why didn't God get rid of Satan? And why did God allow Adam and Eve to eat that fruit? You know, all these questions, because people that I talk to about this, that to try to get them to understand that we're thinking that way because that's how our minds work. That's how we think. This is because we live on this globe, on this earth, and we only understand the dynamics and the way things work here on this earth. Okay, so we're very limited on understanding more than that. Okay, God, He sees every thought in a person's head, every hair on their head. He knows the intentions. He can see the future. He can see the past. He can go forward, backwards, up, down. He can do everything and anything. Okay, He can see where this person's life is going to end. He's going to see all the people that it's going to interact. But we don't see any of that. We don't see any of that. There was a commercial. It's kind of funny in a way, but this guy, he's walking down the street. He has like a hoodie on, and he kind of looks like he just has a kind of an arrogant walk, I guess, about him. And so he's walking down the road, and he sees this lady, elderly lady, pushing a grocery cart across the street, and he takes and kicks her grocery cart over, and she's like, "What?" So she stops to pick it up, and then another guy, he's skateboarding down the thing, and then he pushes him off the skateboard, and the kid runs into a wall. You know, doesn't hurt himself, he just kind of hits the wall a little bit. And then they show later is that what happened is that when he knocked over that girl's grocery cart, that elderly lady's grocery cart, it was that she wasn't looking, and there was a car that was going to hit her. And because she had to stop and pick up her stuff, then the car passed by, and then she went across. So, and same thing with a skateboarder, a person was going to come out of this entrance, and he was going to run into her, just things like that. It was just an interesting commercial about sometimes why do certain things happen in our lives. Like if you're driving down the road and somebody's slow, they're going under the speed limit and they're slowing you down, but it might be to prevent you from getting into an accident. At the timing, it throws a timing off. So all those little things like that you think about and ponder, you know, what if? Mm-hmm. So the question, why doesn't God stop suffering? Okay, God's capable of anything, right? He can do anything He wants. Why doesn't He stop it? Why didn't He stop Adolf Hitler? Why didn't He stop the Holocaust? Why doesn't He stop little children from getting hurt, abused, killed, murdered, you know? Mm-hmm. And, The only clear answer that I have is that only God knows. Only God knows all the details of that event, of that surrounding, and only He knows. God doesn't give us some information. And we're going to read about it right here. It says, where was God during their suffering? And we're going to read about these four people, even Jesus. So let's go to Psalms 13, 1 through 6. Got a few verses to cover.
Yeah, it kind of fits in with that here when we were talking about that. Well, Romans, he says, all things work together for the good of them that love the Lord, even their suffering.
Right. Even their suffering. Mm-hmm. Right. And people think that suffering it produces bad things. You know, we think that our car should always run good, and then when it runs bad, then there's something wrong. Okay. Mm-hmm. But then whether the result is we learn how to fix our own car, then that's a good thing, or whatever it is. But suffering isn't always a bad thing. And it's when you say that, it's completely out of our thought, out of our human idea of that. Okay, suffering is bad, you know, non-suffering is good. So that's the way we think, but try to get out of that thought and into God's thought, and it's a whole different story.
Jeff said, you know, the listener, never heard him say that, saying about all the suffering of God's people, God will never waste it.
Right, right.
I pondered that for a while for me.
Mm-hmm.
I don't like suffering, you know, but don't waste it, Lord.
Well,
yeah.
Part of that is God's unpreventable progress.
Right. Yeah. Right.
Whether it's good or bad.
Unpreventable progress.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah, whatever it is. And people have, who was it? Was it Herod that tried to kill all the babies when Jesus was born? Same thing with Moses. But God prevented all of these things from happening. Mm-hmm. You know, and there's a evil. Did God create evil? No, he didn't create evil. He created good. Okay. Mm-hmm. Satan disobeyed, and then Satan bad existed before Adam and Eve was on the earth.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and but the Lord still created this earth and created the good and created Adam and Eve good and perfect, and but you know, again, volition, free choice. Mm-hmm. So let's read Psalms 13, 1-6. It says, how long, O Lord, wilt thou forget me forever? And this is David talking. How long wilt thou hide thy face from me? How long shall I take counsel in my soul, having sorrow in my heart all the day? How long will my enemy be exalted over me? Consider and answer me, O Lord, my God. Enlighten my eyes, lest I sleep the sleep of death, lest my enemy say I have overcome him, lest my adversaries rejoice and I am shaken. And I have trusted in thy loving kindness. My heart shall rejoice in thy salvation. I will sing to the Lord because he has dealt bountifully with me. You know, he's saying, where are you, Lord? I'm suffering here. Where are you at? You know, but in the end, I like how he ends it. This particular verse is that I will sing to the Lord because he had dealt bountifully with me. You know, even though he's going through suffering and hardship, but he still knows who God is and he still knows. Has a love for the Lord. He didn't divert from that. So, you know, the question is, have you forgotten me? You know, David tells him. Let's go read about Job. Job 3:24. And it's right before Psalms. Job 3:24. Let me see if I can find it, because I wrote down the wrong one. I know I can find it. Let me check my other notes here. Has the same thing on the notes too. It was when God. Let's go to. Oh, here we go. Okay, we'll scratch 3:24. Let's go to Job 38. It's the one that I don't know what 3:24 was, but. Job 38, that's the one. It says, because, you know, Job and, you know, is having, you know, Job has lost a lot, you know, so has his wife, too. And so he's having a hard time with it. And then so the Lord responds, he says, then the Lord answered Job out of the whirlwind and said, who is this that darkens counsel by words without knowledge? Now gird up your loins like a man. And I will ask you, and you instruct me. Where were you when I laid the foundations of the earth? Tell me, if you have understanding. Who set its measurements, since you know? Or who stretched a line on it? Or what were its bases sunk? Or who laid its cornerstone? When the morning stars sang together, and all the sons of God shouted for joy? Or who enclosed the sea with doors, then bursting forth it went out from the womb? And he goes on and on and on. And where were you at, Job? You know, you tell me, you instruct me how to do things. You know, and so so Job was getting into that mindset. So we cannot, we petition the Lord. We ask for prayer requests. We pray that the Lord would intervene in situations. But we cannot make God's mind up for him. You know, we cannot tell God, this is how you do it. Okay. So, we have to be, if we do, we better do better than ducking and running. We better do, anyway, so, you know, God was telling him, Who are you? Where were you when I created this world? So let's go to Habakkuk. Habakkuk chapter 1. It's a book that we hardly ever visit. Habakkuk chapter 1. Hopefully I can find it right away. It's, I think, one or two verses or two chapters. Habakkuk. Yeah, there we go. All right. I'm going to get one of those Bible like Sharon's. Get those hard to get two books.
It makes it easier.
It does. The cheaters. Habakkuk chapter 1, and we'll start with verse 1 through 5. It says, "The oracle which Habakkuk the prophet saw, how long, O Lord, will I call for help? And thou wilt not hear? I cry out to thee, violence, yet thou dost not save. Why dost thou make me see iniquity, and cause me to look on wickedness? Yes, destruction and violence are before me. Strife exists, and contentions arise. Therefore the law is ignored, and justice is never upheld. For the wicked surround the righteous, therefore justice comes out perverted. Look among the nations," and then God says, "Look among the nations, observe. Be astonished, wonder, because I am doing something in your days, and you will not believe if you were told." Okay, so it's a you know, I guess legitimate questions that man has, that, you know, where are you, God? Where are you, God? All these bad things are happening, people are dying around me, and where are you at? And violence. And so let's go to Matthew 27, the fourth man in the.
I just love to read all Habakkuk. I've used them a lot of times, and they're all back. Oh, I wake up, and things are happening.
Yeah. Don't you know God? Matthew 27:46.
Now, Habakkuk's complaint. I mean, yeah, it sounds like he's been watching the news.
I know. You read his, and you look at the news.
I mean, it's everybody's complaint. There's no justice. The bad guys are getting away with it.
And it's been like that for ages and thousands of years, you know. It's just
nothing
a different.
New.
Nope. That's what old Solomon said, right? Mm-hmm. Nothing new under the sun. So verse 46. Wow, why am I getting all the wrong now?
Yeah, I'm gonna say, what's that getting in?
Boy, oh boy. Let's see, this is what happens when you get old people.
Oh, I wouldn't know that. We wouldn't know about that.
It's
whippersnapper.
Hey, I got no excuse. Well, anyways, it's the verse where Jesus says, my God, why have thou forsaken me?"
Yeah, you know. That
was the verse.
Yeah, that's it.
Oh, yeah. You know, I was looking at the language.
Yeah.
Okay, verse 46. "And about the ninth hour, Jesus cried out with a loud voice, saying, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani? That is, my God, why hast thou forsaken me?" You know? Mm-hmm. And we know there was more to that, and we know Jesus understood with his whole purpose of coming to the cross. But these are just a few men that you kind of just kind of trying to paint a picture of how they cry out to the Lord. Now, this is not to paint a picture against God. This is to paint a picture that we all go through certain things and we wonder where God is at in this situation. Person being attacked, why don't you stop them? You know, and you can do it, but you don't do it. God knows the timing. His timing is absolutely perfect. You know, I wrote on the bottom here, God suffers at a life lost. You know, that's that life comes from God. Mm-hmm. It comes from Him. It's just like, parents give birth to a child, and that's their child. And to see something bad happen to that child is heartbreaking. You know, a parent who is a real parent. And so same thing with God, you know. So sometimes we people paint a picture of God saying, well, He don't care. You know, He's just gonna, no, He does. And He hurts when he sees that. And but nevertheless, He has a plan. He knows all the details of it, and we trust Him that He does. So I'm going to read a few things. God created us in His image. His freedom to choose is our freedom to choose. Okay? It's the most powerful thing and the most dangerous thing at the same time to have, is that, you know, we're in His image. You know, God has the freedom, and He chooses, and we have that same thing. Now, so then, one of the ways to get rid of evil is to take the choice away from people to do anything bad. Mm-hmm. Okay? That say that that's bad. And then if we were to do it, and if I were to tell you, Sharon, that you can't do this, and that'd be based on what I think, that is better for me. You know, if you do that, you're going to hurt me, so don't do it. Okay? So that's where our human ideas and our human thoughts just don't line up with God, unless we line it up with this, unless we get it from here, which is the Bible, which is what God wrote. And those are His standards, those are His morals, those are His ethics. And so, yeah, we have the same freedom to choose, and unfortunately, people choose to do harm. Mm-hmm. A world without choice is like being in a prison camp or slavery, you know. Mm-hmm. We know that during the times of the slaves, not all slaves were treated badly or anything like that, but I'm talking about in the abuse of slavery and the prison camps, that people eat whenever they give them food, they sleep whenever they don't have a choice, you know. Mm-hmm. They can have a choice and revolt and fight against, but the consequence will be death, you know. So, next one, it says, God doesn't wish anyone to perish. Can somebody read 2 Peter 3:9? And you guys probably know that by heart, but... Right.
The Lord is not slow about His promise, as some count slowness, but is patient towards you, not wishing for any to perish, but for all to come to repentance.
Right, mm-hmm. Right. And why do we have to come to repentance? Because of the sin that was in the garden. Mm-hmm. Okay. But He does not wish anybody to perish. You know. And there's people that have long life, and there's Greg's mom. Wasn't she in her 70s when she was saved? 75 or something. Mm-hmm. You know, that's a lot of years to go without God. It's a lot of years in Catholicism for years, but God still extends opportunity, you know. The Apostle Paul, you know, as extreme as he was in killing the Christians, and he became the persecuted instead of the persecutor. Okay, so God can absolutely change, and opportunity is always still going to be there. But he doesn't wish anybody to perish. Not like the world or society sees God as that, you know. He's a God of wrath. Yes, there's punishment to be paid, but there's also He's also a God of forgiveness, you know, and patience. Down there it says, look at the universe through a pinhole. You know, if you can make your finger and look through the tightest, smallest hole that you can look through. And then at night, you look into the universe. Does that mean that you understand everything it is about the universe? All the intricate details and all the elements and chemicals that are out there? Well, that's what it's like trying to understand God. And so yeah, we don't understand, but we trust. We have faith. We know that He's going to be just and He's going to be fair. And we have that confidence. We know He's going to handle the situation, whether we want it done right now or to this degree, it doesn't matter, but that He's going to handle that situation in His own fair way, because we won't. We absolutely won't. There was a scene in a movie once I just seen it last night, and this lady, she had on her right side, or no, in front of her, she was talking to this man, and to the right of her was his son, and to the left of her was his daughter. So you got his son and his daughter. And she says, one of them has to die. You pick which one. And he goes, I can't do that. He says, you have to. You have to pick which one dies. And it's finally, he's having a hard time with it. Finally, he says, you know what? Take my life. Take my life. And so he says, so you understand just a fragment of what Jesus had to do, mm-hmm. you know? And he does not want neither one of them to die, you know, the not only death on this earth, but death, of the soul. So anyways, so she was trying to get across the point of Jesus dying on the cross. And so again, like Second Peter, not wishing anyone to perish, so anyways, that's like I said, it's a God doesn't sometimes always for me, I haven't seen anything in scriptures to say this is the reason why I did this, this is the reason why I did that, this is the reason why I'm waiting, this is the reason this. But again, that's where faith comes in. It's a powerful, powerful tool that we have, the faith that God will absolutely take care of that situation. And then we go on, and then we go on living, we live life, you know, those people that had murdered my brother, you think there was a justice in this earth from human laws? No, oh no. So, but we have the rest of it. We're assured that God is just, and he's gonna take care of that punishment in his own time, in his own way. Mm-hmm. So and after that we get up and we work, go to work, mm-hmm. you know, we go to church, we study the scriptures. We don't stop doing what we're doing because of a bad thing that has happened in life. So mm-hmm. but anyway, so God sees the suffering, he knows what's going on, he gives us comfort, he gives us hope, he gives us strength and courage. And we move on, you know, from there. And like I said, people, they live in the past. We all live in a lot of us just live in the past, and we don't get over tragedies that has happened. And mm-hmm. we travel with it through the rest of our lives, and people just shake their fist at God. You know, mm-hmm. they literally shake their fist at God, and they become worse and worse.
And your last point is, I suffered at a life lost.
Right. Yeah, he absolutely suffers at a life loss. That's a life that that came from him. Anyways, that's the devotional. Amen. All right, Jim.